Time to talk to the mayors. We do that on Wednesday, and Jason Vianski is here this morning from the City of Bryan. How are you today?
Doing well, Scott. Thank you. Good morning.
Good. Let's talk first of all about what nobody talked about last night, and that was your first vote as far as the budget is concerned. Nobody spoke on that tonight. Last night. Were you surprised?
I'm never surprised anymore, Scott. We had a long meeting yesterday. I mean, we start early, we go late. There's a lot of things. There were some other issues, I think, that were probably more pressing. But we've been talking about the budget for months. And so council's been meeting with staff at meetings and workshops and behind the scenes and going over budget requests and items. And it's a tedious task, but I'm proud of what the council's put forth and what the staff has put together. Our financial staff and city manager and their staff do a wonderful job in the city of Bryan. And again, we're keeping the tax rate the same. And in my 10 years of being on the city council, we've never raised the tax rate for the citizens of Bryan. We've actually gone down on the tax rate several times. And I don't think there's any other governmental entity in Brazos Valley that can say that. You know, but we still keep expanding our city services and what we provide for the citizens and adding firefighters and police officers and new fire trucks and new fire stations. And by being competitive in economic development, that has helped. The valuations of businesses and homes in Bryan have increased over the years. So very proud of the growth and progress we've seen in the older parts of Bryan and the newer expanding parts of Bryan. So $394 million. So that's it's a lot to put your hands around sometimes.
So what people did talk about was water that's in the ground and water that's fallen from the sky. Let's talk about the falling from the sky first. Obviously, we had rain again this week with about 4 to 6 inches of rain. So this again is on people's minds about what's going to happen with the flooding parts of Bryan.
Well, we have a drainage fee that brings in about $1 million a year. So that money will continue going into flood mitigation. We're looking at putting additional dollars into flood mitigation. Understand, we can't go into every creek on private property and alleviate some of the issues. We have right-of-ways on some of the creeks, and we have access to some of the properties, but we can't go on private property to clear brush that might be in your backyard or on some of the creeks that we don't have access to by law. So, I mean, sometimes our hands are tied of what our staff can do. Then you start dealing with federal entities that'll tell you, well, you can't take out the brush and vegetation because you're destroying habitats and endangered species or something.
So let's talk about structures. Let's talk about a realistic view, you as the mayor, but one member of council, a realistic view about giving people relief by buying those properties. Are there some out there? How many are there? What should we look at as a reasonable number, both in the amount to pay and the number of properties we're looking at?
Well, we received almost $600,000 yesterday from FEMA to buy out. We submitted back in January, so long before the May floods that we experienced here in Bryan. Back in January of this year, we put forth a grant application through FEMA to buy back some of the repetitive severe flooding homes in Bryan, and we identified, I think, about six or seven of them. We put forth for four the maximum grant amount, had one alternate in there, and we just got word back in the last few days that FEMA's going to help us. They're going to provide almost $600,000 to help buy out, potentially buy out these homes.
Again, that was in January. That was before the troubles that we had.
That's in January, but some of the folks that you've heard from that have continued to have troubles are on this list of four or five. And so if they're willing to sell and we can figure out how to make this work, there could be at least four homes that will be purchased by FEMA. Should the city of Bryan go in and purchase homes? I think we identify there could be potentially 100-plus homes that were built in floodplains, 100-year floodplains that are built along creeks might have experienced problems once every 50 years, once every 100 years. Is that something that the taxpayers should just go in and purchase? I don't think you see any cities around the country that go in and purchase homes. Is it the city's fault? So if you build in the 100-year floodplain and you don't have flood insurance, you paid cash for your property not required by your mortgage company, is that a city obligation? I mean, that's something that the council's wrestling with right now. I think the city's obligation is to provide as much relief as possible, deal with flood mitigation. If we can go into the creeks, we can work on retention ponds, detention ponds, go into the areas that we can, that our engineering staff will put forth a plan of action. They've got a plan that they've been working on, continue those efforts to try to alleviate some of the flooding. But you know, you might be able to go into one creek and do some things. Well, instead of 4 foot of water, now you have 2 foot of water. Well, that didn't eliminate the problem. You still got an issue. Some of those homes probably shouldn't be built where they're at, you know.
And well, all right, let's stop right there. Then do we start looking at your Uniform Development Code, your ordinance, and say, you know what? We should just not build in 100-year floodplains because 20 years down the road this may happen, and the city of Bryan in 2040 may be in a situation we are today. Do you then change it on that level? Is that feasible?
Well, being in the real estate business, I've run across homes built 30, 40 years ago in the 100-year floodplain, and they're going to have issues. They weren't built up to go. They didn't have the proper engineering. The city wasn't there to tell them, well, you need to build your slab up X amount of feet. The home builders today, they know better. And I've seen some pretty tall slabs around town that are built along creeks or in floodways, floodplains. You know, they kind of know what they're getting into, but you know, I don't think it's anyone's right to tell someone where they can and can't build, but they need to understand that if you're going to build in a floodplain or a floodway, that you could experience some problems. And hopefully there's a lot smarter folks than I am that can engineer it and figure out how tall that slab should be and how much they should build up the site and figure out ways to drain the water away from the house, and you should be okay. But the homes that were built, you know, Castle Heights is mentioned over in East Bryan often about some of their flooding problems. Those homes were built in the 50s, 40s, 50s in floodways, floodplains. I mean, you drive out there, you'll see all kinds of areas that where they measure how tall the water was in the floods in the areas. You know, the homes should have never been built there in the first place. So should the city go in and just buy them all up and bulldoze them down? I mean, you've got folks that have been there for multiple generations, but they've been experiencing flooding forever. Now, you've got some folks in Bryan that probably for the first time in May experience flooding. They've been in their houses 30, 40 years. So what has changed to cause those issues? And I'm very concerned about those issues. And if there's something we can do in the city with flood mitigation, again, there's smarter folks on city staff and our engineers that can figure it out, and I'm willing to vote to put more money into flood mitigation. I haven't committed to buying up 100 homes around town because where do you stop? You know, and how would we pay for it?
Sure. Jason Bieske joining us this morning. Okay, let's talk about water in the ground. Back in July, the city awarded an $18 million multi-year low-interest loan from the Texas Water Development Board, which was something that was created in the last legislature. Now, what you want to do is take water out of an aquifer and you want to bring it in and you want to store it here. That's got some people upset. That's what y'all voted on last night. Why did you vote against this? Because if I can kind of read from our discussions that we've had before, this was something that I thought you were in favor of, and yet you voted against it last night. Explain to me what your no vote was, please.
Well, Scott's talking about the aquifer storage and recovery.
Right.
It is a relatively new management technology developed by the water management professionals and currently used in 95 locations in the U.S. and in other countries. Legislators gave the city's option to apply for grants to do this. Our staff does a wonderful job at the city of Bryan. We want to ensure that we have longevity, access to water. I think in Bryan we've got like a 50-year water supply. In other cities, they may have a 5 or 10-year water supply. So we're very fortunate in Bryan. I wasn't comfortable with everything at this point. It has been there's been a lot of talk about the ASR project, and it could be very costly. I think we're going to look at spending a couple million dollars on a study right now. Then we're looking at, I mean, it could be $40, $50 million in the future. Some will say that it's cheaper to go through this route and store the water and use it than to buy from other private property owners. I think that's something the city's probably going to have to do in the future, is look at purchasing water rights from other property owners. The city of Bryan is fortunate. We are, I would consider us a very property-rich community. The city of Bryan owns many more acres than most cities of their size around the state of Texas, and so we have rights to the groundwater beneath it. And so we're a little more fortunate. We've got the aquifers beneath us, and so the city of Bryan is in great shape, but we're always looking for new technologies and new ways to ensure that success in the future, and this is one project that the city council did vote to support last night, and so something we'll be talking about over the next few years.
And Mike Sutherland, who is Councilman Sutherland, is the liaison between the council and this board, and he voted for it. So, I mean, he's certainly investigated that, and to the best of his knowledge, he said that voting for it was the right thing to do. Here's my concern. It is going to be $2 million this year, and it's then another $15 million next year. That money's got to come from someplace. Are we looking at a price increase in water?
Well, we applied for a grant through this program. I think we're going to receive $18 million, a low or no interest loan grant or loan. So we've got that we're working on right now. I'm not aware of any price increases on our water rates. We haven't proposed. We've been talking about that in our budget as we've been talking about this ARS program. Nothing's been mentioned by staff about any water increases in the next few years. And 10 years from now, who knows? But this year, no.
The Councilman Sutherland also, I believe, said that he had spoken to College Station about this. I mean, is this something that you could see could be a cost-saving situation if the city's got together on a water project?
Well, I think now that the city of Bryan's moving forward, I think we do need to have more talks with the city of College Station and David Coleman and the mayor and the council and the city manager to see if this is something we can work together and benefit both the cities of Bryan and College Station and Brazos County. So absolutely, I think we need to be working with them. And in all fairness to Councilmember Sutherland, that is probably one of the tougher liaison jobs that any council member has to endure, that groundwater district. They have very contentious meetings. Water is very important. You know, we could talk about oil and gas and everything else we'll talk about. I think water is the most precious commodity and will be more so in the future years as it becomes more scarce. And so, you know, those are tough decisions that aren't made for tomorrow or today in the city of Bryan, but for 10 years down the road and 50 years down the road. And again, we are in a very good position in the city of Bryan with the future of our water supply, and our city staff does a wonderful job. Dr. Jason Barfnick is probably the best in the business, and he's always going to find ways and methods to benefit the citizens of Bryan and ensure our success and in the future.
Sure. Well, and again, just so folks understand, you know, there are farmers in the county who don't necessarily like the city, but then there's this place called San Antonio who's sending a straw up here to look at the water up here. So it's even we have to be worried about
purchasing
that.
Purchasing it out of Burleson County right now.
Yep,
so that is taking place.
Yeah. Anything else today for us?
Yes. Want to visit a little bit. Next weekend is our first A&M home football game against number 16 UCLA. So it's going to be a busy weekend. We've got 1,000 free parking spaces in downtown Bryan. We've got a parking shuttle that's running to and from the games. They'll run 3.5 hours before the football game, before the kickoff, and then they'll run an hour and a half after the kickoff. And the drop and pickup is at the MSC. So that is a very prominent location, close to the campus, close to Kyle Field to be dropped off. And then you can come eat in downtown Bryan and shop and before and after the game. And also want to mention our Lunch and Learn series continues. Bits and Bites, free lunch. Still not too late to register. For more information, go on to bryantx.gov.